That's right. I am here in studio with Paul Johnson. He's the president of the Plymouth County League of Sportsmen. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Christine.
And let me just move that mic a little bit closer to you. Tell me a little bit about, a little bit about your background and the Plymouth County League of Sportsmen. Is that a club? Is that a big group? How many people are involved, roughly?
Plymouth County League of Sportsmen represents the sportsmen and women of Plymouth County. In the clubs in Plymouth County, we range all the way from Braintree all the way to Monument Beach down near the Cape.
Okay. And how many members do you think you have? In the thousands?
Yes, about 15,000.
Okay. So it's a pretty...
We're representing about 8.2% of the population of Plymouth County.
Okay. That's a good number to know. Now, we have you in here today because one of our reporters, Bobby Clark, filed a story, and this was earlier, I believe it was in February. There's a young woman in Plymouth who is the sponsor of Article 20, that's coming up at Plymouth Town Meeting, and this would effectively stop what they're calling the sale of cruel fur products in town. And your folks, your organization says you're against this. Tell us a little bit about why you think that this is not something that people should vote for in Plymouth.
Well, in the first place, the proponents of this article admit that there are no fur products currently being sold in the town of Plymouth that would be affected by this bylaw. The bylaw itself is a solution in search of a problem. Worse yet, it's divisive, it's unproductive, and a waste of time of local officials who have some real-world problems to solve.
Okay, so you're saying that why ban something that hasn't happened? So when they say cruel fur products, I know in the story they talked a little bit about the way some of these, they talk about hundreds of millions of animals killed every year for fur. And you say that this is, we talked a little bit off air, you said this is maybe overseas, but this doesn't happen here in the U.S.,
Yeah, that's true. The proponents of the ban admit that 90% of fur is imported from China and Russia with a little or no animal welfare protections. Yet their proposal targets all fur, even U.S. fur, that's raised and harvested in accordance with humane animal rights standards. Banning fur from China and Russia would not be divisive, and it would help support U.S. farmers. It would lower trade imbalance, and more importantly, it would unite people rather than divide.
Now, what about, I'm just thinking about, this says fur, but what about all the, what about all the leather products that are sold in towns? Would this have any effect on those?
No, interestingly, it wouldn't. In fact, if you analyze their rationale, I think I quote Peter Singer, the intellectual godfather of the animal rights movement, wrote that it's hypocritical to criticize fur wearing while most people are still eating meat, which requires the killing of larger numbers of animals.
Right.
So your belt, your shoes, and all that are not touched by this ban.
And what kind of support are you getting in the community when you talk to people about this? Do they understand what the ban is, do you think? Do they support it or not support it?
Some people, I think it's divided into two camps. Those who think about what's going on here, and other people are reacting emotionally to it. Fur Free Plymouth is not an organic creation of a local honor student, I can tell you that right now. It's a clone of international efforts by animal rights radicals that use examples from Russia, Polish fur farms, and Chinese fur farms that have absolutely nothing whatsoever to do with the town of Plymouth.
Okay, and then I know you did mention something too about, you were quoting someone in your organization who talked about, you thought it was hypocritical, especially when it came to something like rabbit meat. Explain that to me again.
I think I was at one of the caucuses, and Betsy Hall spoke quite eloquently about this, and she says that if this goes through, you'll be able to buy rabbit meat at Stop and Shop, but you won't be able to buy a coat with rabbit fur pom-poms on it.
Mm-hmm.
And she finds that problematic. And she also is quite eloquent in terms of calling this proposal divisive.
Mm-hmm.
It pits one group against another.
And I know that, I think sometimes, as you said, people speak very emotionally. So if somebody said, well, your group then supports animal cruelty, you don't support that at all.
Oh, absolutely not. This isn't about animal cruelty in Plymouth or Massachusetts, because they would, if it were, they would use examples mm-hmm. in their presentation. All of their examples are international. They're from Polish, Finnish, and Chinese fur farms, the alleged abuse that they show. None of them are from the United States. And there's a reason for that, because that kind of abuse simply doesn't happen here. Fur farms are highly regulated. Trapping standards meet international animal rights standards, and have been signed on to agreements mm-hmm. for international animal rights.
Tell me three things that you want people to take away from this interview that about this Article 20, what you think they should know.
I think the first thing they need to know is that it's an intellectual creation of animal rights people, and that this bylaw will affect very, very, very little actual transactions in the town of Plymouth. Mm-hmm. I think the other thing that you need to know is that the sportsmen and sportswomen of Plymouth County have been proactive in passing their ethical standards onto the next generation and helping manage habitat and manage species. I think the worst thing that you can do for a wild animal is to fail to manage them.
Okay. And then what about if people want to find out more about Plymouth County League of Sportsmen? Do you have a website? Do you have a Facebook page?
We have both, www.plymouthcountyleagueofsportsmen.com and our Facebook page, and you can see our presentation on the fur ban. And I think you'll find that it to be quite reasonable. We don't use language like unethical fur products, abhorrent, cruel, like our opponents do. We stick by our own moral standards, and we're not apologizing for them at all.
Okay. And if you want to, is there anything else I didn't ask you that you want to let our listeners know about this issue?
I think it's important to note that the legislation to ban fur sales in Massachusetts has been stymied in the legislature because it targets all fur products rather than ban the importation of fur from areas where these alleged abuses take place. Local fur bans have been enacted in less than 1% of the communities in Massachusetts, and I think there's a good reason for that.
We've been speaking with Paul Johnson. He's the president of the Plymouth County League of Sportsmen. We're going to put your interview up online here on our website, 959watd.com, and we're also going to put up the other article next to that Bobby Clark did, interviewing Lauren Nasrella, who's the sponsor of Article 20, and people can take a look at both of these, and this will be voted on Saturday at Plymouth Town Meeting. We appreciate you joining us today.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much again. That's Paul Johnson. I'm Christine James. Sending it back to Dan McCready right here, 959 WATD.